Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. O Lord, that you would open the heavens and rend them and come down. That's kind of our focus for today, and we're going to talk about that for a little bit. But as we begin this season of Advent, it's important for us to recognize that the season of Advent is kind of twofold. It's a time of preparation, but it's a time of expectation. It's different than the season of Lent. So the season of Lent is definitely a time of preparation when we focus our hearts on the fact that we're sinners and we're in need of God's forgiveness. We kind of do that in Advent too, but it's a little different because it's a time of expectation as well. You know the kind of expectation I'm talking about. How many of you like to take car trips? Any of you? I hate car trips. I'd much rather fly. But anyways, yeah, but car trips are fun, right? And you know, if you're on a car trip, you drink a lot of coffee, you drink a lot of drinks, and then all of a sudden you have to go to the restroom. And in driving in some places like Nebraska, which is very boring, or some parts of Texas, you could drive forever, and then you got to really go to the bathroom, you know, and there's expectation to find a bathroom, and suddenly you see that sign, rest area in 25 miles. And you get joyful expectation because you know there's relief ahead, right? And then you hit traffic, but it's another story. But you understand what I'm talking about. There's expectation, right? And expectation can be a good thing. And that's what the season of Advent is really about. It's about expectation. And today we're going to focus in on our gospel lesson, most certainly, and what it really means for us, because it's a time of preparation and expectation. The gospel lesson today calls us during this time of Advent to look back, but it also calls us to look forward. That's the great thing about Advent. It's a dual season. Looking back and looking forward is important for us as Christians in living our lives. Looking back and saying, I should have got off at the exit 12 miles ago where there was a McDonald's before I hit the traffic, right? Right? You understand how that goes. In light of this passage, in light of Advent, I want to take time for a little bit to talk about what we call our Lutheran doctrine. We have this in our Lutheran doctrine. Lutherans are the best schizophrenic in the world, and it's called a now not yet theology. A now not yet theology, meaning that in our theology, we understand that things can happen now, but they're not yet. For example, the kingdom of heaven belongs to you now, right? The kingdom of God is yours right now, but not yet fully, right? Until the day that you die, you don't experience the fullness of God's kingdom until you pass through the grave and enter into heaven. So now the kingdom of God belongs to you, but not yet fully does the kingdom of God belong to you. And so that helps us to understand these passages today for Advent and helping us to focus on what it means to look backwards and to look forwards and to think about, oh Christ, would you rend the heavens and come down into our lives and save us? So now not yet theology is very crucial in our understanding as Lutherans when we look at Scripture. In our gospel lesson for today, we clearly see the prophecy of Christ and his coming into this world. In our gospel lesson for today, we clearly see the prophecy of Christ and his coming into this world. Now, let me be honest with you. Through the lens of Advent, we see that this passage is now not yet. Because we know that what the gospel lesson is talking about is, number one, that Jesus has already come into this world, and number two, he's going to come again. And what's interesting is, to me, the world hasn't changed very much. When Jesus came into the world the first time, he came into a world that was full of unbelievers, full of people who were living the way they wanted to live life, full of people who allowed Satan to destroy the church. Guess what happens today? We're in a world where there's full of pagans, full of people who don't believe, and full of people who wanted to destroy the church. And Satan does that. He does it in every church. He does it by working in the hearts and lives of people, by leading us to complain about things we don't need to complain about, by ruining relationships that shouldn't be ruined. Satan does this. He works in our hearts and lives. He does it in our families. Oh my gosh, just turn on the news today. Matt Lauer, you guys, was fired this week. That's the end of the world right there. Well, at least it was for some people. But the reality is, Satan is hard at work. And the world yesterday isn't too much different than the world today. And what makes me sad is it happens not only in the world, but in the church, doesn't it? And we allow Satan to do this. And so it's important for us to take a step back during this Advent time in preparation and expectation to say, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. What are we to do as Christians? How are we to live as Christians? How are we to live in this world and to navigate this world where my body and my flesh says, I want to do what feels good. If sex is what I want, that's what I'll do. If using drugs is what I want, that's what I'll do. If being homosexual or having an abortion is what I want, that's what I'll do. If hurting other people and destroying relationships is what I want, that's what I will do. If lying and not telling the truth is what I want, that's what I will do. Because that's the world we live in, right? And we're all guilty of that. Is there anybody not guilty of that? Anybody in here just curious? Anybody mastered this yet? Good. All right, good. These are all honest. So let's take a look at this and see. In this passage, we see that Jesus has already come into this world and he's going to come again. Christ has already come into our world. That's the now portion. You see, this is the thing that that Scripture talks a lot about. At just the right time, while we were yet powerless, Christ Jesus came into this world, born as a baby, to save you and me. He came as King. He came into this world the first time as King and Savior to save us, to rescue us from these very sins. Let's face it, you and I are sinful, miserable people. I am a big sinner. You're a big sinner. We're all sinners. Now let's wallow in it just for a minute. Okay, we're done. Because Jesus came to save us. That's the reality. And if we don't celebrate the fact that Jesus came to save us, then there's no point in reading any further. There's no point in being here today. There's no point in being in worship. There's no point in receiving the sacrament. Because Jesus came to save us. He came the first time. He rended the heavens. He rended the heavens open and came down, as John 1 says, the Word of God, the very Word, the saving Word of God, became flesh so that you and me could dwell with him, that he could dwell with us so that we might be saved. John 3:16, for he loved the world so much he gave his one and only Son. John 3:17, he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world, to save you and me through him. He opened up the kingdom of heaven to come down as a tiny baby to save us, to set us free. Why is this important? Why is this important as we celebrate Advent now? It's important because it's part of our preparation and our expectation. It's important because you and I are saved right now, and it's important to know, how do we live and navigate in this world of sin, in a church full of sin, in a world full of sin, in a household full of sin, in a life full of sin? How do we navigate with the gospel as redeemed and saved and loved, baptized children of God? We do it by celebrating the forgiveness that Jesus himself brought into the world for us in the first place. We do it by living in the forgiveness that Jesus gives to us in baptism. We do it by rejoicing in the forgiveness that Jesus gives to us in word and in sacrament. That's the only way we can do it. And we do it with hearts full of expectation in knowing that he will come again. He will. He will come again. He will come again to rescue us once and for all from a world that has fallen, from a world that is broken, from a world that is not at peace, from a world where we get hurt, from a world where we suffer depression, from a world where our feelings get hurt, from a world where relationships are broken, from a world where there is war, from a world where relationships fall apart and marriages are destroyed, and the list goes on and on and on. He will do it again. He's going to come, and this time he's going to come with his angels, and he's going to call us home, and he's going to say, you who are saved, you who I know by name, come and be with me forever. Come and be with me where I'll wipe away every tear from your eye, where I will restore you, where you will not struggle with sin anymore, where you won't be hurt, where no Satan cannot attack you, where you will be free to live in the mansions of heaven forever, and this world will no longer be able to destroy or harm you because you have perfect peace and eternity with me. And so our prayer is, rend open the heavens, Lord God, and come down to rescue your people. In fact, did you know every time we pray the prayer, come Lord Jesus, whether it's at dinner or like we did this morning, we are praying that Jesus will come and we're praying for our death. Did you know that? That sounds kind of morbid, doesn't it? But it's not. Because as Christians, we look forward to that day when Jesus comes because of his first coming. Because of his first coming where he came as a baby. Because of his first coming where he came to die for us. Because of his first coming where he came to rise for us. Because of his first coming where he came to live for us and open up the kingdom of heaven for us. We look forward to his second coming when we die to go to heaven, to be with him forever, where there is nothing but peace and perfection. This is truly what we long for. It's the expectation of finding a rest area on a 25-mile journey in traffic. There is relief, wonderful relief ahead. And we're excited about that. During this season of Advent, we are called to prepare our hearts for the coming King. We are called to prepare our hearts for the coming King. Brothers and sisters, we're called to dig deep inside. And when we dig deep inside, we see sin. This is reality. I see sin, you see sin. I see failure, you see failure. We're called to dig deep not to put shame on ourselves. We're called to dig deep because it makes us reliant on Him who came to save us. In knowing that because we are sinners, Jesus has come to set us free and that our sins are forgiven. It prepares us to celebrate that tiny little baby born in a manger who came down from heaven and rendered open the heavens to rescue you and me. We are called to dig deep into our hearts and to realize that none of us are better than any other person. I, as your pastor, am not better than you. As St. Paul says, I'm chief of sinners. You are not better than the person next to you. We're all in this boat together. We are called to open our hearts because we begin to see the place of Jesus on His throne, on the throne of His cross and the throne of the empty tomb. And we know that because Jesus is seated on the throne of eternal life, we too will live forever with Him. We are called to celebrate and to prepare our hearts for His rescue and His return once and for all, as He calls us to do in our gospel lesson for today. As the leaves on the fig tree begin to wither, begin to watch. I don't know about you, but I think those leaves have been withered a while. Haven't they? And we're called to watch. Not out of fear. No. Not out of worry. But with a joyful expectation. Because Jesus is coming soon to take us home. So pop quiz. Are you ready? You're going to answer two questions for me. You ready? You have permission to talk during the sermon. Number one, in light of this message, what are some things we can do now to prepare our hearts for Christmas? Because Advent is preparing for Christmas, right? What are some things we can do right now to prepare our hearts for Christmas? Go ahead. Pray? What? Be still? Oh, I'm not good at that one. What else? Come to Advent service. Thank you for that advertisement. What else? Read God's word. Love each other. Okay, those are all good answers. And this is very true. These are things which we can do right now and into the future to prepare our hearts for Christmas. Now, second, what are some things that we can do right now to prepare our hearts and our souls for His second coming? Clean out the closet. How dirty is your closet? It's a small closet. Pray for our enemies, okay? What else? Believe. What else? Read His word and pray. So very similar answers, right? And you guys know this. I think what is important for us as we go through this season of Advent is not to let the Christmas season destroy what Advent is about. Because for us as Christians, this time of expectation and this time of preparation is crucial for our life as Christians. Because it's during this time we realize the power of what God has done for us in saving and rescuing us in a tiny little baby born in a tiny little manger full of manure and cattle so that He may save the world and come again. In Jesus' name. Amen.